today we have Grammy Hall of Fame three-time Guinness World Record holder, our family's favorite musician, Johnny Mathis.
Listen in as celebrities and amazing people share how they use their influence to change the world. Dive into their stories and discover their passion to keep living a legacy.
Today, we have our Christmas edition of Living a Legacy with Grammy Hall of Fame three-time Guinness World Record holder, 65 years in the music business, our family's all-time favorite musician, Johnny Mathis. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, too. I got to tell you, you are our family's all-around favorite musician. For 20 years of marriage, my wife starts playing Christmas music about June or July, and it's always your Christmas album. Marshmallow World, Winter Wonderland, Oh Holy Night, We Need a Little Christmas. I mean, it's on repeat. And I found out, I kid you not, 48 hours ago, I'm sitting on the couch with my daughter, and she has her Spotify account up. She's 15 years old. We've got a 17-year-old son, 15-year-old daughter, and Spotify tells her, hey, you've listened to this many hours of music. You know, this is your favorite song, your favorite artist. And she has no idea I'm interviewing you, mind you, no idea. She's like, and my favorite song for all of 2020, I'm in the top 0.5% of listeners, is Chances Are by Johnny Mathis.
Wow.
And I just,
what a nice
I
surprise.
Stopped in my tracks. Yeah, I stopped in my tracks because I had no idea. I mean, 15-year-old daughter, of course, they're listening to a million things. But her number one played song for all of 2020 was Chances Are. And then I had the joy of breaking the news to her. I was like, well, I got to tell you a secret. And she goes, what? And I was like, I'm interviewing him in 2 days. And she just flipped her lid. You got to be kidding, Dad. She's listening from the wings today. But I just wanted to let you know, big fans, love your music. And we're excited to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
You've got a wild childhood. For one, you're a Texas boy like myself. I'm told you were born in Gilmer, Texas.
That's right.
So the Piney Woods of East Texas, but you quickly moved to San Francisco. You were considered the number one athlete in all of San Francisco and actually were picked to be on the Olympic team for high jump, correct?
Correct.
That's not something I knew before. Of course, I'm quizzing my wife last night because she's a huge, huge fan. And I was like, did you know this? And she's like, yeah. I was like, well, did you know this? Yeah. Did you know he has a Guinness World Record? Yeah. I was like, well, what don't you know about Johnny Mathis? She's like, well, I don't know if I'll be able to make the interview tomorrow because I was hoping she could be here with us. Tell me about kind of your childhood getting into music and then the conflict with, do I be a musician? Do I go into sports? Because you weren't just kind of good. You were literally all around best in San Francisco. You were 2 inches from the world record, the Olympic world record in college. You competed with Bill Russell. I mean, there's a lot to this.
My growing up in San Francisco, I was very lucky. My parents had 7 children. I was right in the middle, 3 older, 3 younger. I was blessed to have parents like my mom and dad. My father was a wonderful singer. He and my mother worked for some rather wealthy people, cleaning their house and cooking for them in San Francisco. And they were very kind to me and helped me a great deal in my beginnings of my musical career. I started singing in public when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And they helped me. And by the time I was 18 years old, I was out of San Francisco State College for a summer vacation and sang in a local nightclub. A man heard me and said he was the jazz man for Columbia Records and signed me to a contract immediately. And at the age of 18, I went by myself to New York, made my first recordings of a jazz album with nobody ever heard, I don't think. But anyway, it was a it was a means to an end, and I met a guy by the name of Mitch Miller, and he gave me a song called It's Not For Me To Say, and then he gave me Thoughts mm-hmm. of Never, and he gave me Wonderful, Wonderful, and on and on and on. And that's how I got my musical career started.
Wow.
Wow. Johnny,
did you think you would have achieved what you were able to achieve?
I was young and all by myself in New York. I had never gone any place. My mom, my dad had seven kids. We had to work like mad to make any kind of money. So I was a pretty go-getter guy from the time I left San Francisco and got to New York to make my first recordings. And I ended up hanging out with some guys from Nashville who invited me to, you know, to sing there. I sang anywhere because nobody paid me. But finally, I sang someplace, and somebody heard me and put me on a show called The Ed Sullivan Television Show. And that really got me started. I got an opportunity to travel and make a few bucks. And before I knew it, I was in the studio with a wonderful, wonderful bunch of musicians, and I recorded songs like Chances Are and The Twelfth of Never, Misty and Maria, and on and on and on. And before I knew it, I was on my way to a career as a singer.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so a question my wife definitely wanted to ask you, but I'll ask you in her turn was, you know, what's the one song that never gets old?
Oh, for me, there's so many songs that I recorded, and some of them became popular in the public, and some didn't. There are a couple that I liked. Well, I love Chances Are. It's a lovely song. Robert Allen, who also wrote a lot of songs for Standing on the Corner and Watching All the Girls Go By. A few songs for the Four Lads. Yeah, Four Lads.
Yeah.
And several other, Misty and what have you. So I've been blessed by the fact that the voice that I had as a child was really, I had a wonderful voice teacher, a woman who told me that I would probably want to sing all my life. And she was right. And fortunately, my voice has held up. So I still love to sing. Because of the pandemic, I haven't sung in almost a year in public. But I still sing around the house. And, you know, my brothers and sisters tell me to shut up. And otherwise, I'm a happy man.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, there's so many. Now, you have a Guinness record. You had the Guinness record for longest amount on the Billboard Top 200, almost 9.5 years. And that started with you being... I'm sure somebody else has coined it, but really you're the godfather of greatest hits. Who came up with the idea of having the greatest hits? Cause you started that.
Mitch Miller was the guy's name, and he was a guy that eventually got me into the studio, and we recorded songs like Chances Are, 12th of Never, Not For Me To Say. And, he's the one that started that. He took the first five recordings that I made, which were It's Not For Me To Say, 12th of Never, Chances Are, something else, and put them in an album and called it Johnny's Greatest Hits. And now everybody has a greatest hits.
So right, but it started right there. I mean, you were that greatest hits album, 9.5 years, 490 weeks. In the Billboard Top 200 hits, 9.5 years.
That's crazy.
And I'm,
Eric,
I'm told that you would have up to 4 albums at any given time in the Billboard Top 200 albums. 4 at a time. I mean, how?
Crazy.
It's wild.
But you know, when you're young and you do what I did, I come from a large family. We had no money, but we had a lot of fun, and we made things happen. But that's what I did. I sang a lot, and fortunately, I had a lot of success very, very early in my career. They gave me some really good songs, and I was very fortunate at an early age when my dad, who was a singer, suggested that I take voice lessons. And I took voice lessons from a woman, Connie Cox is her name, and she taught me from the time I was 12 years old until I was 18 and made my first recording. So that is the...
Wow.
That's the catalyst for my singing, is because of the early studying voice with this wonderful, wonderful woman who taught me free of charge. I ran errands for her and cleaned her house, but I had no money to pay her, but she taught me anyway.
So, Johnny, thinking about that, I guess your humble beginnings keeps you humble your whole life through your success, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people are kind to you when you have something that, you know, seems to matter to them. And being a singer, I sang everywhere, and some of them liked it, and some of them didn't, and some of them were rich, and they helped me out a great deal, and God bless them.
Well, you can't help but sing. So one of the questions, you know, you've been successful for 65 years now. This is your 65th year in music, right?
Am I that old?
That's the rumor.
I guess,
that's the rumor.
I guess I am. I mean, I don't think about how old I am, but I guess I am. Yes. Well, whatever you said.
Just,
yes.
It's loving what you do, right? You can't help
but be
who you are. It's who you are, it's
yes.
DNA, it's just how you're
exactly.
made, is you know, you sing, and, you know, people give us a hard time because we sing in the office, we sing in the shower, we sing around the house, our whole family sings.
My brothers and sisters sang, and nobody signed them up to a record contract either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there is that it factor, and that's why... That's why when the gentleman from Columbia Records heard you, the quote I read was, you know, I heard this 19-year-old kid and he can go all the way. Send me a blank contract, you know, because whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do to get this Johnny Mathis. Love it. 65 years. What is your advice to anybody wanting to get into music or to anybody in music that says, how do you make it for 65 years?
Oh, dear. you know, I have no information for people other than if you love to sing, but don't expect anybody to listen or to help you because you should do it from your heart and soul. And
right.
if you like it, keep doing it, even though they... put their fingers in their ears.
it seems like it's a love. Yeah.
That's right.
Go ahead, Eric. Go. Yeah.
You can't not sing. That's really what it comes down to is, you
That's it.
It's just
you gotta love
it.
And don't expect any return from it other than a few people to tell you shut up once in a while. Yeah.
or don't quit your day job. You know,
it sounds like all the awards, it goes back to this humble beginnings that
right.
he loves what he's doing, Eric. It's such a passion for him, right, Johnny?
Well, I grew up in a culture in San Francisco where music was everywhere. In college, I was president of the student body, and my voice teachers took me all over. They took me to opera singers. They took me places where I would be heard. And I met some of the great singers in the world at a very early age, and they were very kind to me, And they were just normal people otherwise, but they had great, great voices, and they also knew how to care for the voices. And the best advice that I ever got from any of them, and there are so many to this day that I am so grateful to, they said, don't worry about anything. Just take care of your voice. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about getting fat. Don't worry about getting bald. Don't worry about anything. Just take care of your voice.
That's critical, though. It's critical.
Yep.
Because so many singers do get nodes, and they have issues because they're straining it, or they're trying to be something they're not. And that's something that you've always been, is you have this iconic voice, and you know, you've sung, man, seemingly every type genre of music, but it's still always Johnny Mathis.
The joy that I get out of singing is it's because of I grew up with a large family, six brothers and sisters. My dad was a singer. My dad was my best pal. He said, son, we got to find a voice teacher. I said, Pop, I don't need a voice teacher. You're my teacher. He said, no. And so we looked and looked and looked at an early age, starting at about the age of 12 or 13. And I found a few people who wanted to help me, but they really didn't have the expertise that was necessary. But I finally found a wonderful woman who was miles and miles away from my house by accident. Yeah. I sang for her, and she agreed to teach me. Her name is Connie Cox. I'm forever, forever, forever grateful to her. I had no money. I ran errands for her. I cleaned her apartments, and she gave me free voice lessons, and God bless her.
See, I think
God bless her.
Tremendous story, and shout out to all the teachers, right, Johnny, that are out there that are making a difference, especially during this pandemic.
There are a lot of things that you can do, and I'm in a situation and a place where I can help, and I do what I can when I can.
Wonderful. Now, Johnny, what's your favorite Christmas song to sing?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. I love that song.
Oh, I love it. I love that you sing. Absolutely.
I love it too. So are you excited, Johnny, when things get back to a new normal that you can be performing in front of an audience again?
I hope so. It's one of the great, joys and moments in my life is when I get a chance to perform and sing with all of the help and all of the good things that have happened to me over the years. I want to make sure that I do as much as I can to give back as much as I can by performing as often as I can. And I hope that that things lighten up. And I'll be on stage before you know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you're one of only five performers in history to have a top hit in four different decades. I think you've done it five decades in a row. I think you've probably done it six decades in a row. If you could sing with anybody a duet, who would it be?
Oh, I'll sing with you.
All right. What do you want to sing?
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, Eric. There you
Why
go.
Not?
Oh,
right now.
Holy night.
Sing it, baby.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the
world in sin and error pine.
I love it. That's okay. You and me.
I'm not gonna.
You and me.
That's my skill set, but that's fantastic.
You know what? I love to perform And fortunately, up until the pandemic, I've been able to perform all my life. So that's the real, thing that overrides everything. It doesn't matter whether you put it on record or whether you do it in person, but it's the actual physical, act of singing, which is something that my father, God bless him, told me that I would always want to do, whether I could or couldn't. So take care of your voice, kid. And that's take about it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm now celebrating again 65 years, as Eric brought up before. I'm just going to look at the thing of the voice of romance and Christmas. So basically everything, you can still buy your music all the time at johnnymathis.com. Just being your PR guy, Johnny, to give that out there so that people still can pick up all the different types of music available.
Absolutely.
Johnny, right there at johnnymathis.com.
Johnnymathis.com. Yeah. You need to check it out.
Thanks,
read
guys.
Johnny's bio. Read his bio. It's incredible. Now, one thing that the bio pointed out, and we're gonna wrap up here in just a second, Johnny. One thing that your bio pointed out is two of your passions are golf and cooking. So, you love cooking. I'm guessing you've been doing that during COVID.
Well, my mom and my dad made their living supporting seven kids and a lot of other, people who came through town on their way someplace and they had no place to live and they came and shacked up with us. And my mom and my dad cooked for everybody. And, of course, my mom was my best pal. And I was by her apron strings all the time while she was cooking. I learned to cook at an early age. I could have done it as a profession, but I like to sing, too. So anyway, cooking is a passion of mine that I've never gotten over. I love it.
Well, I can't wait for the Johnny Mathis Christmas cookbook.
I've done it.
Oh, there we go.
I've never seen it, but I did it. They told me it was going to be published and made big deal out of it, and I never saw it. But anyway, I worked and worked and worked and gave them all of my recipes. And before I die, I hope I find it in some bookshelf someplace.
Johnny, this podcast is called Living a Legacy. And, so often we talk about how we're going to leave a legacy. But what we talk to is people like yourself who've used their influence to impact the world around them. And you've absolutely done that. So one of the questions that I like to ask everybody that we interview on here is, what legacy do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered for?
Well, the thing that is the catalyst for my musical career is that I met some people and they helped me at an early age learn to sing. And they also told me that whether I could or couldn't sing, I was going to want to do it for the rest of my life. And so over the years, I've traveled the world singing, and I met some of the most extraordinarily gifted people you can imagine, and they were singers. And some of them I helped, and some of them I couldn't help because this was no time and effort. But I'm so grateful to have had that opportunity to do for someone else what someone at an early age did for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know it's impacted your life and you paid it forward to impact countless other lives. Well, Johnny, thank you for 65 years of just sharing your voice with the world. I know it's made a huge impact in our family and people around the world. I can't even imagine how many weddings you've been involved with Chances Are and songs like that being sung at a wedding as people are getting married or an anniversary or your music at a Christmas party or just family meeting together around the tree and listening. You're such a part of America's families. It's amazing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the interview. I appreciate it. And happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time for another amazing episode of Living a Legacy.